I used to preach in a small Tongan fellowship a few years ago. They used to call me up, and they were very spontaneous people. The sermons, or the meetings, used to go for 3, 3.5 hours. It was very just open-ended somewhat in terms of who got up and who sung and who shared. And a few times I was there in the time of worship, and the pastor nudged me and said, "Oh, you're preaching today." So I had to quickly scribble some notes. He put me on the spot a few times, but it's good to be ready and aware. It's good to be constantly walking with the Word, being in the Word, living the Word. We are to be the living epistles. And tonight, as we come to the Word of God, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your living Word and your Holy Spirit, the reality of the one and true living God. We thank you, Lord. We have sung praises to you tonight. Be still for the presence of the Holy One. The living God is here. And with that, Lord, we turn to your living Word, and we pray that you would speak through this message tonight and work in our hearts by your Spirit as we take away this word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're looking at the subject of fearing God and the blessings of fearing God. And I've spoken a couple of times just on this topic, and it's been a number of weeks between messages. But in the first message, focused on the fear of God and the blessing of fearing God, and how in a corrupt world, when men fear God, things go well. Even unsaved men, women, there is a stability in society. God has put his Spirit in the world, and the Spirit is at work. His Spirit is alive and working in our context, in our world around us. And the last time I spoke was on fearing God, for he is good. His goodness causes us to fear him because he is so good, because he is so holy. It causes an awe, it causes a reverence, it causes a holy fear of the living God. Tonight, I just want to focus on why we should fear God and not man. Fearing God and not man. In Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus said in Luke 12 and verse 4, "I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. But I'll show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, fear God, fear the living God. Fear him who has power to kill, who has power to cast into a lake of fire or to raise up to eternal life. Fear him. Do not fear those who kill the body. And I was thinking this week of the stoning of Stephen and the time and the setting of the Gospels, how commonplace it was for stonings. And this was just a barbaric way to go. Surely a death, a punishment by stoning, a punishment by crucifixion. The punishment's very, very gruesome and very real. And we know because of the zealous nature and the nature of the zealots and the Pharisees and Sadducees and these disciples of Jesus were in real risk of their lives. We know the disciples, we know those who came after Christ in the first and early church, how many martyrs there were in that church. And the Lord Jesus says to them, do not fear. Do not fear him who can kill your body. Do not fear man, but fear God. And then straight away, he gives the description of the 2 copper coins, and he gives the description of the sparrows and says, fear not. You see the context. You see how the Lord is concerned that we have a holy awe of him, a holy reverence, and yet in relationship, in a right relationship to him, we're not terrified of that living God. We can approach him through the new covenant, through the blood of Christ, and we can stand in Christ. And that's an incredible blessing, and it is a blessing to fear God. And if we fear him in a true sense, in a true way, and we will take all of our lives to learn this, to adapt this, to appropriate this in our lives. But as we go out day by day, learning the true fear of God, we will learn a right relationship with God. As we come to know him, as we seek him in his word, and as his spirit indwells us and causes us to move and have our being, the right fear of God will draw us to him, not away from him. We won't run. We'll be drawn to him. And so the Lord Jesus, he's giving a very vivid description of death. And he says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. In Deuteronomy, looking back right in earlier time, there was a principle governing warfare. And this was what the Lord God gave to his people. And in Deuteronomy 20, in verse 1, it says, when you go out to battle against your enemies, when you see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. These were the principles of warfare. This is God's war. This is not human warfare. We don't look at the context. We don't look at how many men we have. We don't look in the arm of our flesh and the strength that we possess. But the Lord, he is our God. In him we trust. And so these were the principles that God handed down to his people. And he said, do not be afraid. The Lord your God is with you. The one who brought you up from the land of Egypt. How could you forget? The one who brought you up from the land of Egypt. What a mighty deliverance. And that's, in New Testament terms, salvation. A deliverance from Egypt. A deliverance from the powers and principalities of this world. The powers of your own flesh. The governing powers of your own flesh. The Lord God is over and above them. And the Christian can live a victorious life in Christ. So it shall be when you're on the verge of battle. Think of this. This is a reality. This is an outnumbered, a force outnumbering the people of God. So shall it be when you're on the verge. The priest shall approach and speak to the people. He shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you're on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. How often did the Lord deliver the few against the multitude? Then the officers shall speak to the people, saying, what man is there who has built a new house and hasn't dedicated? Let him go return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. Also, what man is there who has planted a vineyard and has not eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there who betrothed to a woman and has not married her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another marry her. And then he says these words, the officers shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart. And so it shall be, when the officers have finished speaking to the people, that they shall make captains of all the armies to lead the people. Whom shall we fear? The officers shall speak further to the people. What man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Friends, the Lord God, we have the winning team. We are in Christ. Now, how does this apply in our context? Now, we are not in the persecuted church here in Australia. So when you consider the words of Luke, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. That's a very real prospect in the persecuted church today, tonight. That's a reality. But that is not our context here in this nation, at least not at the moment. And what about the context of battle? We don't take up arms. We are not in this case as the people of God were, who physically faced a foe and came against a host in a physical sense. But at the same time, we are to be ready to die for our Lord. We are ready. We ought to be ready to contend for the faith. Nor are we to fear man. Nor are we to fear men. And we do go into battle, friends. We do go into battle. Not against that seen host so much, but against principalities and powers, rulers of wickedness in high places. We do face a battle every day that we wake up. There is a host, the world, the devil, your own flesh. And we are not to fear nor fear man. We came and we come literally against the forces of darkness. But we ought to fear God and not man. The Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm, Him you shall fear. Him you shall worship. And to Him you shall offer sacrifice. Now, how do we fear man in our context? So we don't fear him as the persecuted church. We're not to fear him. But how can we fear man in our day and age? And we do. We do. We do fear man. How do we do it? We try to please man. We try to please man. We are afraid of what men may say or may think. And by that, we fear man. Our witness and the word of our testimony and the testimony of the gospel is hindered when we fear man. Do you recall the words of Paul when he writing to the Galatians says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." This is our context. This is our society. This is how we can fall and be tripped up. We can fear man by trying to please men. And we don't present the gospel. We're afraid of what men think. We are afraid of what men may say. We are afraid of being different and outcast. But fearing man is a curse, the Bible says. Fearing man is a snare. We are not to fear men. We are not to fear men. Now, disclaimer, we are to give honor where honor is due. Reverence where reverence is due. Respect where respect is due. But, friends, nothing of fear. Nothing of fear. Man around us. Man here. Man outside. Humankind. At his best, has flawed judgments. Has flawed judgments. We cannot be ruled by fear. By any element of fear, apart from the fear of our Lord God. We cannot live or be ruled by it. We are to live by the fear of God, the fear of our Lord, and not men. This is important. Jeremiah says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength." You know, a fear of man really is a lack of trust in God. Fearing man is a lack of trust in God. You know, the context of coming up against a foe, against an army that outnumbers you. The Lord says, do not fear. Do not fear man. And so cursed is the man who trusts in man. And Psalm 118 goes on to say in verse 4, "Let those who fear the Lord now say, His mercy endures forever." Psalm 118 and verses 4. Four through to nine. "Let those who fear the Lord now say, His mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." And the psalmist goes on to say how the Lord delivered him and destroyed the enemy. But consider this. Consider the words of the psalmist. "I called on the Lord in distress. He answered me. He is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can a blade of grass do against another blade of grass, but one hedged in, protected by the power of God. The Lord is for me. He is on my side. And he says this in verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. He's equating the fear of man than the confidence of man. If we truly fear the Lord God, we'll put our trust in him. But a fear of man is a snare. Proverbs 29 and 25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Now a snare is a trap, is it not? It's something that ensnares, it catches you. The fear of man brings a snare. When I thought of that passage, I thought, Lord, what snares? How can we be snared when we fear man? But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Some snares. I've got a few. Deep down, fear of man is trying to please a man, trying to live up to man's standards rather than God's standards. A snare of fearing man is that you want to live up to man's expectations, man's schedules. No. Seek God. Fear him. And if man is putting pressure on you that is beyond what you should be receiving, say no. Say no. Some people come so under authority of other men and man that they fear man more than they ought to. And it's a snare. We are to seek a God. We are to seek the living God and fear him. And when we fear God, he delivers us from certain pressures, expectations that are not from him at all. Fearing man, you'll want to conform to men rather than please God. Fearing man, you'll conform to men rather than please God. And you know, this is a sad thing, but we may even confess sin and be outwardly pleasing in the context of the church or of men, but go too far rather than seeking to please God. There are some friends, even in the church, who have taken this way too far. Way too far. We are not to be outwardly pleasing to man, but rather seeking to please God, who sees all and knows all the time. So there are snares, and there are just a few, but the Bible says the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So let's switch right over. Fearing God, the blessing of fearing God. Fearing God will give you true peace. The peace that passes understanding. When you fear God, you will have a right relationship with him. You will find the peace that passes understanding. Fearing God, you'll have freedom. Freedom from the fear of man. Freedom from the turmoil of this world. Freedom from what men might think and might say. The Lord himself made himself of no reputation. You know, sometimes in my workplace, I am governed by a certain expectation. I have to present myself in certain ways. I have to speak at certain committees. I have to be in a position of certain authority in my workplace. And sometimes I see the cleaner and I say, oh, I wish I was a cleaner. I wish I was a cleaner from another nation and that I would be of no reputation. What freedom. What freedom. I don't want to live up to man's expectations. I want to please God. I diligently seek to do that. But the fear of man brings a snare. But truly, fearing God brings a freedom. We can please God 24/7. There's no facade. We can please him freely 24/7. When we fear man, when we try to please man, we'll do that. We'll switch on. We'll switch off. But when we fear God, we will joyously live by the Spirit and seek to please him all the time. What freedom. What joy. Fearing God. The blessing of fearing God. When we fear God and not man, God will provide his care and every spiritual and physical need. The Lord Jesus, as he spoke those words in Luke 12, He said, do not fear those who can kill the body. Fear him who has power above all power. And he goes on to say, are not five sparrows sold for 2 coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. When we're rightly related to God, fearing him rather than fearing man, there will be great provision in his storehouse. There will be nothing that we lack. The Bible says, Psalm 34:9, fear the Lord. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. There's no lack. There's no lack. You will say that is true of your life. I can say that is true of my life. I know that by the grace of God, walking in right relationship to him, in fear of him, there is no lack. There is no lack in his storehouse of everything that is good. He has given food to those who fear him. Psalm 111 verse 5. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. I was young and now am old, but now I have never seen a righteous man forsaken, nor his children begging bread. The righteous man, the man who fears him. There is no lack among those who fear God. There is no lack. I know you can say amen to that in your own heart, in your own lives, if you walk in his fear. Because everything that you have, he owns. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All that we see around and about us, and every provision, every physical and spiritual necessity, everything that we need is in him. Let your conduct be without covetousness, Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Be content with such things as ye have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There is provision. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. There is a relationship there. There is a confidence there in God. And then the writer of Hebrews says that we boldly may say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will not fear. The Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? He's talking about the context of provision, of contentment with such things as we have. Contentment with physical things. Contentment with God, being content in him. And in the fact that he will never leave nor forsake us. That he's ever present with us. That there is a security in him. And we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. A fear of God causes a dependence on him. A fear of God causes a trust. And we know that in the account of Job, and I know you touched on that, Pastor, some weeks ago, as you shared on the fear of God. Job trusted in his God. He feared the Lord, and that caused him to depend when all around was absolute darkness and futility. When considering that in the natural, there was no way forward. But the fear of God caused Job to depend and trust in the living God right to the end. The psalmist says, who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Have you found that secret? Have you found him in the secret place, in the closet of prayer, in your daily life, in your walk with him? Have you found the secret of fearing God? The blessing of fearing God. And he will show them his covenant, his word, his truth, his promise. Mary sung a song of praise and said in the Gospel of Luke, his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. It is a blessing. Teach me the fear of the Lord. This will take our whole life. This will take all of us to live this out. teach me. Blessed is the man who fears him. Teach me what is left. Teach me, Lord, to fear you, to walk in your ways. The angels proclaim in Revelations chapter 14. They exclaim, they proclaim these words. In Revelations 14 and verses 6 and 7, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. Friends, the day of the Lord is at hand. We are to fear the Lord. He is coming again. The day of the Lord is at hand. The day of our redemption is nearer than the day when we first believed. Men are dying around about us. Men are falling into open graves, Christless, godless. This is a time to not fear man. This is a time to fear the living God. Men's response will 95, maybe 99% of the time be rejection when you preach the gospel of Christ to them. But God knows what is going on in the heart. God knows. He sees beyond what you see. He sees beyond what we see, the great walls. Media, which has polluted and corrupted our society. Sin and depravity all around about us. God is far greater. God is far greater. When you see the multitude of hosts, when you see the principalities and powers we face on a day-to-day basis, do not fear. God is able. He is able to save your family. He is able to save family members who seem far gone. Do not fear. Do not fear. Continue to witness to them. Continue to witness to them in your life, in your conduct, in your words. Do not fear men. A man is a blade of grass. He is up one day and he's gone the next. That is true of all of us, sinner or saved. And friends, we are not to fear another blade of grass. We are to fear the living God. And the fear of the living God will teach us to live out this gospel as this angel proclaimed, who this angel had the everlasting gospel to preach. Now, I don't know much about Revelations, I'll be honest with you. But the angel flies and he has the everlasting gospel to preach. He has got the gospel to those who dwell on the earth. Friends, the word of God is nigh unto you. It is in your heart. It is in your mouth. Speak forth the living word of God to a people who are dying, to people that ought to fear God, to people, to a society who ought to give glory to God rather than giving glory one to another and titles and honors and preferences and all kinds of things. Our society fears men, it glorifies men. And it fears them. It puts its confidence in them. But not so for the people of God. Not so for us. Because on one day, we will be caught up. We will be caught up. And we will stand before the one whom we fear. And in holy awe and in holy reverence, we will give him glory. As the angels today do, as the angels tonight do, bowing before him with the 24 elders, and we will give him glory, and we will bow down one day when our time on earth is done. What is left for us but to fear the Lord and walk in his ways? I just have a few more blessings from the word of God tonight for us. Psalm 128 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Now, this is, it's for all of us. I've especially taken this on in my life in the context of a father and the head of my home. in the sense of an awe and a fear of God, that this ought to be me. This is the word. This is where it is at. Psalm 128, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. There's his provision, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Happy Mother's Day. Your children will be like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. I need my whole life to live this passage out. My whole life. The Lord shall bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. I so want to see my children's children. I so want to fear God. This passage drives me to fear Him because of the blessings that are contained here, the blessings of an awesome God. The Proverbs 31 woman, for the ladies now, that was for all, but as a father, take it on yourself. Men, take it on yourself as the head of your home to fear God, to walk in His ways. Take it on yourself. Take it on yourself. Proverbs 31:21. She is not afraid of snow for her household. Now you may well know these passages, but as a blessing tonight, let's open them up. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. The Proverbs 31 woman does not fear the provision of God. Her house is kept. And verse 30 of that same proverb, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen to that. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now it is good when a woman has beauty as well and charm, but above all, the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. And she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Her own works, as the men and as the city speaks and gives glory to God. Let her own works praise her in the gates. The blessing of fearing God. I'll close with Psalm 112. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Let's pray. Lord, we've come to your holy word tonight. And I thank you that it is your living word. I thank you, Lord, that it is not contrived by man. It was not given by the desire of men. It was not given by the thought of men. It is given by the inspiration of God. This is your word. And we come to it tonight. And we plead with your Spirit that your Holy Spirit would take this word and make it real for us. Make it real tonight. Make it real tomorrow. Make it real in our context as we go out. How we live. How we breathe. Yes, Lord, May we truly taste and see that the Lord is good. May we truly fear you, God. May we truly walk in your ways, having an awe and a reverence of you moment by moment. And may we not fear man. May we not be futile in our brief hours on this earth, Lord, on the brief moments you've given mankind. May we not use them for futility, but rather for reverence, for honor, for glory of the living God. And we love to praise you, Lord. We long to worship you, and we give you our lives tonight, Lord. Take this word, Father. Do not let it depart from our hearts, from our lips, we pray. In Jesus' name.